Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Welcome back to Hacks and Hobbies. Today's guest is someone I've been really looking forward to having on the show. And if you've ever found yourself surrounded by to-dos, jumping between tabs, I've got 100 tabs open, and wondering how you're going to get anything done, especially with an ADHD brain, well, you're in for a treat. Now, Sky Watterson is the founder of Unconventional Organization, an ADHD strategist and coach with a science-backed approach to focus, consistency, and growth. After being diagnosed with ADHD during her PhD, she built a system she wished she had all along, and now she helps entrepreneurs and executives do exactly the same. Sky, welcome to the show. So glad you can make it.
Hello, it's wonderful to be here.
You know, I've been told that I might have ADHD, or maybe I haven't, but I do. When I'm working on some project, I will lose track of time, and I'm just right into it, and it just feels so great. But let's talk about you for a minute. Can you take us back to that moment when you realized that you had ADHD and how it shifted your entire trajectory?
Yeah, 100%. It was a bit of a surprise for me. I was diagnosed later in life. I was an academic, so that was my job. That is what I had been doing for most of my 20s. But when I got to my PhD, I had been burning out between, you know, things that I was doing. Sometimes it was great, sometimes it wasn't. And so I went to my university's learning center and I said, hey, what is going on? Like, am I okay before I embark on this huge journey? Yeah. And they tested me and said, we think you need to get tested for ADHD, which was the first time that I, despite having taught about it and learned about it, the first time I really understood it could be something I had.
Wow, that is definitely changes your trajectory, because you have a certain thing about you know yourself, like, hey, this is who I am, and then somebody else comes around the corner like, no, you also have these things, and might have explained why you are the way that you are over the years growing up.
100%. It really did just shift a lot for me in terms of that experience, and it helped me to long-term, it really helped me. Like I said, I'd burned out many, many times before that, not realizing why. Post understanding and developing the strategies, that didn't happen. And it also led me ultimately to, you know, join understanding how much I love businesses, how much business development can be such an area where we really thrive with ADHD with the right tools. And so this is what I do now. This is what I teach. I will say 50% of the people I work with do not have diagnosed ADHD. They're still on that journey, and that's totally great. I work with anybody who has or suspects they have ADHD.
I love it. You know, getting that realization that you have ADHD must have felt like discovering that missing instruction manual for your brain, right? Because our brains work differently depending on what things we're diagnosed with or told about. How did it go from being, you know, it being a personal breakthrough to building a thriving business for yourself?
Well, I will say it's more like finding out that I had a missing instruction manual. They didn't give me the instruction manual at all. Anyone can relate. They just say, you think you have this? And you're like, cool, what does that mean? They're like, well, you know, and that's kind of it. So for me, it led to an understanding, oh, I need to start researching, which is what I do, what I love. I need to start researching ADHD seriously. And so I started, you know, I had access to all of these wonderful articles, journals. So I started doing that. And that really led me to what I do now, because I started teaching it. I started running, you know, communities. This is what I'd always done, learning, researching, teaching. So I just started naturally doing that with this, you know, this area of ADHD that was so passionate about. And over time, I worked in schools, and then I started working online during COVID, and it developed into this business that I have today.
That's really beautiful. Let's go into that business. And, you know, before we even go deeper, let's dive into the title of today's episode, How to Prioritize When Everything is on Fire, right? What does that actually look like for someone with ADHD? And the more I listen to you, the more I realize if there's any correlation between certain type of people born in certain time of the day or whatever, versus who they are, because there's something else that I follow, and maybe we can go a little deeper into that. But what does that actually look like for someone with ADHD on how they could prioritize when everything feels like it's on fire?
So yeah, with ADHD, often people, most people come to me because they feel overwhelmed. They feel like everything is on fire. They're just not building the momentum they were hoping for. So they have too many tasks, inconsistent revenue, and they're drowning. And so one of the first things I do to help them understand what they need to focus on is I do something that I call the 2-minute focus formula. In fact, you guys can message me hobby on Instagram at unconventional organization, and I'll just give you
Perfect.
that formula. But basically, what it is we go through and we say, okay, what is the thing that is truly, truly urgent today because it needs to be done tomorrow? And that means something which, if you didn't do it today, there would be a significant negative consequence for tomorrow. The way I like to describe it is, say, you know, heaven forbid you ended up in a doctor's office or a waiting room somewhere. What is the thing that you would still be doing on your phone, or at least messaging somebody on your phone to say, hey, I don't think this is going to happen? That's the urgent stuff.
Now that makes a lot of sense, because when you don't take care of something, it's sitting in the back of your mind. I'm like, okay, I gotta go do this, I gotta go do this, and it just weighs you down. And for example, I gotta, you know, get my car registered or renew the registration, and it kind of like sitting in the back of your mind, like poking, like, hey, you gotta do this, you gotta it's definitely interesting.
100%. And what happens really is you end up in a position where you, unless you write everything down, with ADHD, we do struggle with working memory. So things will tend to ruminate, they'll tend to circle. So brain dumping all of your tasks, identifying the truly urgent, what that does, because I've done this with hundreds of entrepreneurs, and I'm telling you right now, there's almost never more than five. Like, it's usually very few things that are truly urgent. What this allows you to do is it allows you to clear your plate to identify the things that are now truly important. And that's when we get into that piece of going, okay, we understand, you know, you're running a business. What is the 80-20 task that's actually going to help grow your business? And this is something we don't talk about enough because we're in the middle of just making it happen and grinding through. We need to figure out what your 80-20 is, and we need to make space for that in your life.
I love the 80-20 rule, because it helps so much, you know, refocus. Hey, this is the 20% of the things that I need to worry about, and leave the 80% for now, because that 20% of the things are going to move 80% of the needles.
Being an effective business owner, especially with ADHD, because you have a lot of ideas, is having a task list, ignoring 80% of it, focusing on that 20%. Unless it's truly urgent or truly important, and you should only be only doing 1 to 3 truly important things a week, everything else we will put to the side, at least for now. And it might shift over time, but it's one of the things that I always want to make sure that people understand.
I love that, Sky. Now, how do you help people figure out what's really urgent versus what's just loud? I mean, is there a step by step? And I know we're going to get tactical in the next episode, but talk to me about how you help them.
Well, truly urgent versus loud is a really good question, because a lot of times what will happen is people will say that it's truly urgent, what they mean is it's other people's urgent. So it's truly urgent because other people tell you it's urgent, or somebody says, I want this. And especially with ADHD, we can struggle a little bit with self-criticism. People pleasing tends to come into the mix there slightly. So we can end up in a position where we're very reactive. We will spend a lot of our time doing other people's tasks. And that's why I ask you to put all of your tasks, homework, everything, down on a piece of paper or a journal, somewhere you're going to reuse it, because we like to reuse this filter. We don't want to just make a new list every day. And then from there, when we're looking at the truly urgent, it doesn't matter if it's somebody else's task or it's your task. All that matters is, if you don't do it in the next 24 hours, will something externally bad happen? You won't be prepared for a meeting. You won't have, you know, you won't have a bill that has been paid that needs to be paid. Like, that is what makes it urgent.
No, that's so good, because it's helping to categorize the type of the task and what effect or what outcome you might have at the end of it.
Yeah. And one of the reasons this actually comes up with ADHD, because people often say to me, like, it's so great because I've used these other systems and I just got confused and lost. We really need that strong definition of what this means. Often with these systems, we can get really fuzzy definitions and people will tend to pick their own or get lost in it. Again, with that working memory struggle, and also just a little bit of that dopamine, we just need to understand exactly what makes it one thing versus another. And this is one of the systems that I've done, you know, I've worked with the people on this for many, many years now.
I love that. So talk to me about the system, or before we even get to that system aspect of how you work with your clients and the people that you work with, what do you think about energy management versus time management? Because we are constantly bombarded by time management. How are the two different?
I think they're both equally important, especially with ADHD, because one of the things that you see a lot with entrepreneurs who have ADHD is we have inconsistent energy. There will be certain times a day, certain times of the week, we will have a ton of energy. We want to do a ton of things. And there'll be certain times of the day when we don't. Now, I have systems and I teach strategies to help you get energy on those low energy periods of time, so they're not a waste. But it is really important to consider energy management. It's one of the pieces that I teach, particularly once things are going well. Because when you first start a business, you've got that dopamine. Oh my gosh, is it going to work? Is it working now? But eventually you get to a place where it is working, or it's still a struggle, but it's not giving you that dopamine that you used to get from it. So we need to figure out how to add in other pieces to keep your momentum going, so you don't self-sabotage.
Man, that's such a big thing among entrepreneurs, and because like you said, you know, that the first time you come up with something brand new, you got that dopamine hit, but eventually you start feeling low energy, and then you want something to add on, or, you know, basically add on discipline, you know, you, because motivation is only going to take you so far. You got to bring in the systems, you got to bring in the discipline to keep that going, and then you'll see the rise come back in. So there's a theory called the J curve, and at the bottom of every J curve, you'll notice that people like feeling really bored, or you know, not feeling that dopamine hit. So then they'll jump up and start something brand new again, which is then again bring the energy down.
Yeah, 100%.
Scott, this has been absolutely game changing already, because and what's funny is that we're just getting started, because in the next episode, we're getting into systems that stick, revenue rhythms, and sustainable growth strategy for ADHD entrepreneurs. What's one insight or shift listeners can look forward to in the next episode?
Making the most boring part of your business actually fun.
Ooh. Oh my God. I would love that. I can't wait to learn myself. How do I make the most boring part of my business to be fun? Guys, if you're listening and you've ever struggled with sticking to systems or showing up consistently, this next episode is for you. So make sure you subscribe and check out Sky's work at unconventionalorganization.com. we'll see you in the next part. Skye, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.